Tennessee presents the Press Box. The Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpet in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpet. The Press Box is your source for Ellis County High School sports. And now, here's tonight's show.
And here's tonight's show. We are back, Mikey, after having, you know, they kept us in the stable last week.
They deprived our listeners.
We had some issues with our, we had some right issues. I don't know, what do we have issues? Oh, yeah, Yo-Yo.
Our producer.
Well, Yo-Yo. About that.
You know, and I have to say,
hope Yo-Yo's doing better.
We didn't even talk.
I've got a Yo-Yo update coming up for you here in just a bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, is it so big you got to wait a few minutes?
Well, I just wanted to get you properly introduced.
Right on. Okay, so Chad Hicks here alongside a tiny Mike Fay.
Good to see you.
In Studio A here at the World Headquarters, the World Broadcast Headquarters, KBEC Radio.
Come on now.
1390 AM, 99.1 FM, KBEC.com. Or if you want to hijack a satellite and bootleg your way in that way, that's fine with us too. We don't care.
We don't care none. But it's good to see everybody tonight, and we have the pleasure of having El Capitan, the boss,
the broadcast legend,
the legend that is when Ken Roberts, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, fellas. The pleasure is all mine.
Oh yeah.
By the way, I refuse to give myself
our own, fake.
So,
yeah, we don't have a clap track, right. So we just do our own.
There we go.
The man's too modest, Chad, to have his own drops.
So the Yo-Yo Dave update is that he actually ended up spending the whole week last week in the hospital.
And this is after he was trying to make a dent in the earth with his head?
He did, and yet, being the trooper he is, came on back to work and worked for a week.
Well, yes, he did.
Gamer. Before he realized something's wrong.
Something's wrong. Really?
And so it turned out he did have a not only concussion, but a small brain bleed.
Oh, wow.
Spent the week in the hospital.
Whoa. Yeah. Don't just glaze over a small brain bleed.
I said it was small.
Well, I don't know that there's
my
any.
Goodness.
That's like a mild heart attack. No, dude, there is
it's
no
like
mild
almost pregnant.
Heart attack.
Minor surgery. That
right.
Type of, yeah, it was. They got that under control pretty quick. The problem is he couldn't, the headache would not go away.
Oh,
and it was still, he told me on Saturday.
Pressure.
On a scale of 1 to 10, he was still at an 8.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
And they said, hey, we can't do therapy until we get this thing under control. Well, they did that late Sunday. He started therapy today.
All right.
And they told him it'll be 7 to 10 days. So there's a chance he's back next Monday. My guess is probably more like middle of the week next week.
Well, there you go.
Okay, so then, but Ken, we live in a world that's all about us.
Well,
yes,
of course.
So
with them,
or at least
what's
I
in
do
it for me.
So will you be sitting in the event that he is?
I will. So right. I would have last week, but
however,
no, you had a track meet or something fancy.
My granddaughter is running a track meet at Van.
Oh,
got to
wow
go to the home of the Vandals.
The Vandals,
the Van Vandals,
the home of. No, I'm going to hit you with something. The home of Bobby Peters.
Nice.
Okay. So.
Ken's being nice.
Who was a Baylor Bear,
mm-hmm,
but was written about in the Junction Boy book about Texas A&M.
That was kind of the story of Bear Bryant in his short time.
You know
that's
what?
That's exactly right.
Ken, that's right.
Ken, I've got to confess.
No, but let me.
There's a box to check in the producer's booth over there, and it's called Chad shoehorning in a shameless A&M plug. Make sure you check that box.
So earlier, prior to broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, and kids of all ages,
here it goes.
We were talking about bad last names. Okay. So all I'm going to do in this brief little semi-pseudo segment right here is I'm going to give you two headlines as it read in the Baylor, I believe their campus newspaper is called the Baylor Line, right? Or is it the Lariat? Maybe it's the Lariat. Yeah, it's the Lariat, I believe.
Sure.
And so at one point, Bobby Peters was injured. Bobby Peters was my dad's roommate at Baylor University.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And by the way, it's unfortunate last name. It's not bad last name.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. You're
I don't want anybody to think their last name is bad.
I think that depends on whose seat you're sitting in, but you're correct.
Yeah, unfortunate last name.
But the news headlines, the news headlines was Baylor to play without Peters.
That would be difficult.
And they realized how bad that was, so they came back the next day to clean it up and then corrected it, and it was Baylor to play with Peters out. That's all I'm going to say.
I think I like that one better.
The broadcasting right. maturity of this program went to an all-time low.
Right. 6 years old.
And you know, though, I have to give – Ken, I got to give my partner a high five because he brought that plane around.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
made his point while shamelessly shoehorning in Ryan.
Right. Right. And I hope I didn't offend you.
And Baylor. No.
I hope I didn't offend you by refusing to play the A&M fight song like Yo-Yo Dave does.
Well, I do. Every time.
Yo-Yo. And I landed the plane even though one of the wheels flew off like that one did last week.
Was that crazy?
Is that not
crazy? Did you see the damage to the cars?
Oh, it was unreal. Yeah. And luckily it only hit it hit like an employee parking lot. Which you say that's lucky, but it wasn't at a high traffic time and all of
this,
that.
This after a Boeing had a little part of its fuselage just come
apart.
How would you like to be sitting on row 115 and all of a sudden you're looking right outside of the wing?
Wow, it's breezy.
You got your arm hanging out.
Holy cow.
Like you put the window roll down.
On crazy. First.
Hey, I just want to say this, that tonight's show, if you're not follically challenged and you don't have a gray goatee, you ain't good enough to be on this show.
You're
tonight.
Not. We are part of the Army.
Right. You got that right.
I got it in today, Ken. I promise you. I've had this conversation over and over. People look at me and they go, "You remind me of somebody." I go, "Let me guess. You've got an uncle that's over 6 foot tall, heavy, bald, with a gray goatee."
Yeah. It's a pretty standard
Colonel
look.
Sanders. Right.
It's a pretty standard
There's a
look.
Whole army of us just out there right. taking over the world.
Yeah. Personally, I go with the goatee because it makes my face look thinner.
Oh, yeah.
Less, not as round.
Less
more horse face.
Thick neck. Is all I like to call it. Fat neck, actually.
Multiple chins.
So, hey, I got a question for you guys. Did you guys take in any of the Oscars last night?
So, I actually, real time, only saw about 15 seconds.
Oh.
I caught lots of highlight action today.
Roger.
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't even know it was Oscar night until I walked to the back room, and that's what my wife was watching.
Same here. I walked in, and they were watching it. And I took in some of it, but the format was interesting. Because, you know, this used to be the thing to watch. People have parties and do whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But the format was good. Jimmy Kimmel's fine. I mean, I could do without him. But he's up there, and he's on stage, and they're kind of interacting with the actors in the audience, the directors and such. And it was all real fascinating how they went back and forth. And one in particular that really struck me was when Arnold and Danny DeVito come out together.
Neighbor.
And they're like, "I'm a twin, you know." And so he comes out and they're standing there and they start talking about being villains and how much they hated. And they were kind of doing a bit and they go, "Hated, wait a minute. There's Batman right there. Michael Keaton's in the audience." And he's like, "You know, we could have destroyed you, but it wasn't in the, you know, script, blah, blah, blah." And Michael Keaton's sitting back right here, and for you watching, you can't see, but he's kind of giving the smug chin up and waving,
bring it on.
It was so cool. And they worked bits like that all night. Really? One with Spielberg. That part was cool, but anything else, I had no idea.
Apparently, the Larry Bird Allstate commercial is a must-see that they ran during the Oscars.
I missed it.
Oh,
I got to tune in.
So they say
that.
It's pretty good.
Yeah,
so
I will
check that out, too.
Okay, so help me out, though. Who did Will Smith slap?
It was a slap-free Oscars, from what I understand. But what it wasn't, and listen.
You've been sitting on that one for about 4 months.
Mr. Tuck told me a long time ago. You know, you stay away from politics and religion, you don't offend anybody.
That's right.
So I'm not going to talk religious or political affiliation. I'm just saying, you know, they had about 2 years of kind of political statement-free Oscars.
Yep, right.
And from what I've read, this being a presidential election year, that all changed.
They went
last
right
night.
Back to it. See, I didn't watch it long enough for that. I kind of walking in and out, but a bunch of stuff I didn't know and whatever, but I thought it was clever how they did some of it. But there was Oscar talk, which used to be a big thing in my house. Now, of course, my wife's like, "I haven't seen any of these movies," which what's in store for me is a bunch of yawning.
Now, the Oppenheimer film that did well, not bad. It has some slow moments, but it's got
some
great moments.
It's a good film. I saw that one. If they could have scaled it back to 2 hours,
exactly.
I'd have been
in fact, I think like an hour 45.
Yeah, right. I can't. I don't go 3 hours at anything. That's, I mean, no. That's why I don't play golf.
It's like, well,
you watch a ball game.
No, you'll fish. Hey, I've been fishing with this guy for like 10 hours, and we caught one fish. And
yeah,
we knew there were fish in the lake.
I ate pretty good that night.
Hey, Ken, no, we did. We ate well. But, Ken, the other fish we saw was carried, true or false, partner, by an osprey that flew over us with fish and talons, giving us the claw we couldn't seem to catch any.
And maybe even a bigger fish than the one catch.
Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah, we were catching the fish he uses for bait.
But true story or not, partner, that was a true story.
That was a true story, yeah. So, we did see an osprey.
Hey, whatever floats your boat, baby.
That's right.
No pun intended.
I think it's true. The numbers have, and I'll be interested to see tomorrow when they come out with the viewing numbers. They've been going down.
Yeah,
really
they
bad.
Have. Well, I just, and I think part of that is what you just said. No matter what side of the fence you stand on, people just get tired of tuning into something to being slapped in the face of the political
space. But they consume they consume all that. All that information they see, they've already consumed it online. They haven't consumed it. It used to be that was the program to watch. Now they consume it already. They already know, and they can be on their phones doing something else. And most people aren't going to take time to spend 4 hours to figure out who won awards.
It's the same reason why Monday Night Football is drifting away too, right? After watching Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, by Monday
you're just a real diehard and you think, man, I wish we had NFL every night of the week or some type of football, which you almost do
you
anymore.
Almost do. You do.
Anymore.
You do.
There are college teams that play on Tuesday night and Thursday night.
You know, I get overly footballed, and then I'm not going to lie to you, it's almost grieving to see that the entire thing has come to a sad end. But we do have the draft.
And if you want more football, you just roll over to Wyoming on Monday night, and you can get even
some. No question.
Right. Seventh grade.
So, ladies and gentlemen, here at the Press Box on KBEC, we have a bit of a show tonight. Not to mention
I was going to ask, what are we doing?
Yeah, I'm about to roll it out for you right here in front of our boss that, you know, we're both intimidated. I can see Chad's been shaking like a chihuahua all night. But we have tonight, as we end this segment and go into the next, we have the great Jerry Mecca. He is a University of Texas at Arlington alum. And Jerry is the linchpin in part of the movement to bring football back at UTA. If you've been listening, as I know you have, you would know that yours truly is a UTA football alum, along with many other
Mighty
folks.
Maverick.
No doubt. And
I've called many a high school football playoff game from that wonderful stadium over there.
So there's a lot of fun that's just gone on the last 2 weeks. And unfortunately, because we had to dry dock one time, we're back to talk about it again. But Jerry will be on next segment and talk us through kind of what the AD told the football alum. We had a gathering of 40 years of football since we had it last, essentially. And then all the other alum came. It's really exciting. I mean, it's a lot of fun. So we'll talk with Jerry about that, and then we come back for that third segment. We got a little catching up to do. It's great that we have the great Ken Roberts here because he can talk to us a little more about our final game, but more importantly, how the state championship came out, and talk a little baseball too. So when we get back, we'll jump in with Mr. Mecca. Until then, see you soon.
Hey, I'm just a little upset you didn't have anybody from the no face mask era if it's only 40 years ago. So.
Well, it's further back. Gosh, it's back in the 50s.
So. All right. Very nice. Hey, it is the Press Box you're tuned into here on KBEC, and it's brought to you in part by Wayne Price Heated Air. Waxahachie providing superior HVAC expertise that you demand. Highest quality results. Call for AC repair. It's that time of year. Make sure you're ready to go when the really warm weather starts showing up. 972-834-2568 is the number you can call to learn about the HVAC service that they offer. 972-834-2568. Wayne Price, Heating and Air Conditioning.
If you are ever in need of a wrecker service, call Topro Wrecker Service at 972-938-3221. They're the pros that can give you a tow. Topro handles small and heavy towing 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Danny and his crew have been serving this area since the year 2000. Let them put their experience to work for you. Call 972-938-3221 or email at towprowax@gmail.com. Topro Wrecker Service.
Bose Mitchell McKibben Funeral Home and Crematory continues our tradition of caring by operating one of the only on-site crematories in the area. We believe the care we give is sacred, and we should do everything possible to maintain complete control of the cremation service and process. The facility located on the premises allows us to do exactly that. If you're not familiar with all the options associated with cremation, we invite you to visit or call us with questions about cremation. Bose Mitchell McKibben Funeral Home and Crematory, a tradition of caring.
For 248 years, proud patriots have defended our freedom as American soldiers. One of the best ways to honor their service is through the Army Historical Foundation's Registry of the American Soldier. Open to all Army veterans, this free registry allows veterans or a loved one on their behalf to create a permanent public record of their service. No soldier's story should be forgotten. Learn more at armyhistory.org. That's armyhistory.org. Sponsored by Army Historical Foundation, Inc.
And now back to the press box on KBEC.
And we are back here at 18 minutes after the 6 o'clock hour.
Yes.
And which, I guess last week this was the 5 o'clock hour, wasn't it?
Yeah, so can I just really quick that we didn't cover it the last segment, not to interrupt, partner, but Ken, you are our leader, our oracle, knower of all things, but when are they going to stop the daylight switch?
When Arizona can convince us that it has worked for them.
We got one down, 49 to go.
Then we're going to jump right in on that bandwagon. But till then, it's not going to happen.
It does work for them. They don't switch.
They don't have the agrarian society to the extent that Texas does.
Yeah. So. Oh, we don't.
Sorry.
As bad as it is in the spring, though, it is pretty nice for about a week in the fall.
If all you got is desert and cacti and canyon, you don't need to have that. You know, bring on all the sunshine you want.
Right.
Mercy.
All they don't even look. They have a sun dial. That's why they want the sun.
I digress. This is honestly the worst day of the year for me because it just throws off my chi. But, hey, that's not what we're here to talk about. What we're here to talk about is who we have on our line. And
it's lit up.
Here he comes, ladies and gentlemen. Live here from the Press Box KBC, you've got the great Jerry Mecca.
Wow. The great Jerry Mecca. That certainly isn't related to football, but I will give it my best shot to represent today.
Jerry, you always do a good job. This is, you know, you are now what we would call
a regular.
Yes, a veteran.
Got like Saturday Night Live. I've got two now, so I.
Yeah. We've been doing this for 3 years, and we finally got a guest to come back for a second time.
So, Jerry, you either feel like a sucker or we just think that much of you, but. No, no, really. I was talking to our group a little bit earlier before we went on the air and just telling them about what had transpired. And just to catch the listeners up, Jerry and I are both UTA football alum. Difference between Jerry and I is Jerry has devoted a lot of time and energy, far more than I have, to get this thing back on track and get it in there. Not to say that we all aren't so interested, but all of us, and I can speak for all UTA football alum, are so blessed to have Jerry involved in this and getting this thing going and getting interest and on the just so much that Jerry's done. And we had you on a year and a half ago or maybe 2 years when the student body voted it, but most recently, for the listeners, there was an event about 2 weeks ago, Saturday, held at College Park, where all the alum were invited in, and we were able to sit through a meeting with the athletic director of UTA Athletics, and that would be one John Fagg. And then afterwards, we were then honored at halftime at the basketball game and so on and so forth. But
real quick to clarify, so when you say alum, was that football alum?
Yes.
Or just football?
Essentially
not
football
all,
alum.
Not all sports.
Which is a very limited bunch since the last class was 85. But anyway, enough about that. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, we bring back the great Jerry Mecca to talk to us about your takeaways from that meeting with the John and just kind of your thoughts of the evening and kind of where UTA football is.
Yeah, so I had five big takeaways, and but just to catch up those who aren't aware of the process and the history, in 85, the program was stopped by the university for reasons that still boggle the mind. Predominantly
right.
because it was financially cited, though there are only about 20 programs in the world that make money with football. Football is not about earnings and making money, even though it's nice when you do. It's more about growing alumni, growing engagement, making lifelong contributors.
Right.
And that's where your ROI comes from. But at the time, I don't think the leadership had the sophistication or the desire to look into it that way. And one thing I promised John Fagg was I wouldn't reflect too much on the past.
Right.
And Mike, for guys like you, I know that's hard because you're in the middle of your football season and they come along and say, hey, there's a rumor football's going to end. You've already committed your life to go to UTA. You've passed up scholarships and other schools you didn't go to go play there. And now suddenly the school has left you out on the pasture to figure something out for yourself at 18 and 19 years old.
Right.
So that's kind of number one is we're going to talk about moving forward. Moving forward means that if there's to be a program, it has to make sense to the university and it has to be aligned with the new 2030 strategy, which was just announced also coincidentally 2 weeks ago. And I say coincidentally, you got to know I had a lot of intention on the timing of our reunion.
Yeah, it sounds like that. Yeah.
The second thing that I took away from it was that we're not going to come back like we once were, a Division I football team. Forget the attendance requirements. The NCAA, about a year ago, took what was a nominal $5,000 fee to enter Division I,
right,
and changed it to $5 million.
Insane.
Yeah. I you know what? It's okay. The truth of the matter is football, Texas, and Texas is football. And I've grown up here. I've been here since I was 12 years old. Sorry, I was born in the Northeast, but I was a wrestler. In any event, football is a way of life. There's enough talent in Texas to quit sending everybody to the SEC.
Right.
Well, of course, that's going to change now since two of the teams are from Texas. But nonetheless, the football, life here needs to be given another chance, or in this case, a new chance. And the only way that that's going to happen in a financially sensible manner would be to be in the FCS versus the FBS.
Right, which is, I remember years ago when maybe 8 years ago, Brian Happel, who was, an all-conference performer, part of the program you were with when we won the conference back in 81, right? Yeah, in 81.
Yep, that's correct.
And he mentioned that the only way we'd ever go back is be Division I, but I'm assuming Division I is FBS, FCS. It used to be 1A, 1AA.
We're just talking about that big boy group that
there's no way we can compete.
10, 15 years from now, we start recruiting. People see the sense in UTA. We have some great things going on. 44,000 students. Number one largest university in the country without football.
No doubt.
Yay. But we're hoping to change that. And, maybe there's an investment in the future that does make sense. But right now, we know who we are. We're in the WAC. We've got Abilene Christian and Tarleton and a handful of other teams that play pretty good football. And I'll be happy to play against those teams or go witness a few games at home in Arlington where, I can't believe, really, the truth is my son turned 18 in October. He's about to go off to West Texas A&M. And
there you go. That's what I'm talking about.
I'm just frustrated that I couldn't have shown him the traditions, which there are many.
Yep.
And the history, which there is endless.
Yep.
And the number of NFL players and Canadian football players and Super Bowl rings. Every time I think about it, it just makes me think about all the schools in the world have nobody who ever played NFL, nor did they ever win a Super Bowl ring, and we've got a lineup of seven or eight of them. But nonetheless, the third thing I took away from it was it's not going to cost $150 million. I think that was a number that someone put out there to discourage me.
Well, but now, you also know, you know, well, I was just going to add, I think Chad's got a question for you too, but but the reality is, you know, admin, you know, admin fag said the biggest thing we need is infrastructure. We need a whole new stadium. And then talked about $5 million. But yeah, I think that's a little inflated.
Well, that's where, let me say this real quick. Chad Hicks here and Mike Fay of I don't even know where we are. At the press box online with the great Jerry Mecca, who is an advocate for University of Texas Arlington football. But yeah, Jerry, that's exactly where I was going, is because I hear your statements early on about, you know, football programs don't make money and all that. I can agree or can understand how that could be the case, right? I mean, A&M goes through a lot of money, but they also got a big stadium. They just paid a coach $75 million to leave. They got, I mean, they go through money. A lot of money, right? But it is cash flow. But just to hit our listeners with a couple of numbers here, I mean, UTA's endowment's $218 million as of 2022. There's 41,000 students there, 28,000 of which, roughly, I'm talking on round numbers here, 28,000 undergrad and just under 12,000 postgraduates. And so you got the people, but where UTA is very different, in my opinion, let's say to a Tarleton, for example, okay? So Tarleton, they had a little stadium there, and they were getting along doing their thing, and they step up to this Division I level, and next thing you know, they've got to build a new stadium. That's a lot of outlay there. But but the Mavericks already have a stadium. Right? It's still there that could be utilized. Not to mention, they're geographically, they're in an area where I'm reasonably confident old Jerry World will rent you out a stadium or you know, the ballpark at Arlington. There's other places, if indeed they needed to make a move quickly, where they could. And that's a good problem, right? If you're filling your stadium up.
I'll just throw a couple things out to, because there are questions that came up, Jerry, during the session from all the alumni. Regrettably, the stadium that we do have was built at a time where turf was not as common.
Right.
And we went with turf, artificial turf. I mean, turf is turf, and grass is turf, but artificial surface.
Yeah.
And it was at a time where drainage to be facilitated had to create a crown in the center of the field.
Yep.
It literally would have to be completely renovated. You might as well build a new one.
But you can re-turf a field for about $1 million.
No, you got to excavate it and pull that crown down. And evidently, the investment of blowing up all that and taking it all out with the inexpense, the modern day expense for all that, it reeks of buying. But it's like they said in this meeting, and just to kind of capsulize that.
Yeah.
And I know Jerry, you have a few more points to make, but you know, to the listeners, you know, our whole thing is we've been chomping at the bit for this for the last 10 years at least. And Jerry, you've been actively involved that whole time. The reality is the question with all – we had about 125 players going all the way back to the 50s, all the way forward to my class.
That showed up for this event.
No question. We all had our jerseys on. It was awesome. Thanks to Jerry.
I would like to see how you fit in yours.
I fit good because we got new ones.
And they're pad ready.
Okay.
I only saw one of our alums in the old jerseys. That'd be Kyle Fuller, if you recall, Jerry. He could fit in that. I can't even fit in it.
To just let the listener know, there's a big glass window between us and our interim producer, Mr. Ken Roberts, and I could hear the laugh coming out of him with headphones on through the glass when I made mention of your jersey. But one other point, Jerry, I wanted to make, because this is something that I've heard of late.
Well, I was just going to make this last point. Reality is the biggest question there was, what's going to take to get it back? What's going to take to get it back? What's it going to take? What's it going to take?
Yeah.
So I've heard this statement by more than one person recently, in that if you travel to Stephenville, Texas, the home of, you know, the Tarleton Texans, right? I've heard that John Sharp out of College Station, who is the chancellor of the Texas A&M University system, has basically signed a bunch of checks and handed them the checkbook. Just open-ended. Go make it happen. They're building new dorms. They're building new you know, classroom facilities, laboratories, all this stuff on that campus. So at some point, is this whole campaign going to have to shift from Arlington, Texas to Austin to speak to the chancellor of the Texas university system and get some politicians involved, preferably UTA graduates,
yes,
to make this thing happen?
Finish your points, Jerry, but yeah, you got to address that question.
So the process is what you're talking about. The first step is right. The non-binding vote that happened. The second part was writing an emotional, histrionic-based that football would be good for UTA, and that be something that both the AD and the president of the university agree with.
Along with the student
body. I have
body.
No doubt about the AD. You should have no doubt about
no,
the AD. You
this
heard
guy's
him.
On.
He's a football man. His dad was a football man. I was a football guy from LSU. There isn't a person in the athletic department that wouldn't want football, but they're not going to go against their president. You right. know, so if she's on board, which I'm going to tell you, I was about ready to hug her. She was so positive. But I'm positive as well that she has people that she has to appeal to. So the next step after a non-binding is an actual binding election that has the students agree that they're going to start paying additional athletic fees. If you remember,
yes,
we got our fees frozen at like $8.
Right.
I mean, UT San Antonio is 25.
Well, talk about that, Jerry. Put that in perspective, because that's what got the program. Well, that was the flimsy premise the program was canceled on, because they said
really
people paying for stuff they're not watching.
I'm so passionate about this subject, it's practically coming out of my pores, but we've got to have a real election that says the students are committed to it now, which means mom and dad are.
Right.
The next part is taking that forecast of income with business contributions like the ones you described from local businessmen, not so much the system.
Right.
And then taking that program down to the region. Last time we went to see the regents, I think Carbari got shocked when they said, yeah, you should look into football. You're going to pay for it. Don't ask your alumni to do a fundraiser to pay for a freaking assessment. With his tail between his legs, he came back here and did it. And next thing you know, COVID hit. So we got this kind of bad luck string going, but I think we're in a really good place now. After the Board of Regents hears a real plan, that's what you were just talking about.
Right.
We have a community of, let's call them athletes, businessmen, former cheerleaders, students, and administrators that are coming together and say, here's how we can do it. That is such a different attitude over, it's going to cost $150 million, so here's why we shouldn't do it. That was the old UTA.
Yes.
So now I'm not saying it's going to make that much of a difference, and maybe I'm just an optimistic person. I'm sitting here with only a half a glass full of my favorite beverage, but I do believe that we're going to be headed in the right direction. And when we get down there, they may say, hey, this is all good and fine, but maybe we should model that A&M model. Let's talk about the A&M model. It's really important that you understand. Texas A&M University uses Tarleton as a feeder school.
Exactly.
Active process where they have said, if you take these years at Tarleton because you couldn't get into A&M, you can transfer 100% of those as if you were going to A&M.
Well, and that's the same way as Texas A&I, what I'm going to call Texas A&I, but Texas A&M, Kingsville, West Texas A&M, and Canyon.
All of them.
All of them. Right. Galveston.
But guys,
that is not part of the Texas UT system approach. There's an informal approach, and there's a lot of guys and gals that go to junior colleges and other things, hoping to one day go to the mothership.
ACC's one.
I don't necessarily subscribe to that, but
Austin Community College is one. But I mean, the thing that we got in the meeting, and part of the rationale, and I understood because people are talking about Texas A&I. East Texas. They talked about San Antonio, which UTSA is the one that just gets under my skin. Well, UTSA.
They're on top in
UTEP
football
makes
right
sense,
now.
But what does El Paso and San Antonio have in common? Well, they have nothing else. Nothing other than the fact you got the Spurs.
That's right.
That's it. And then, you know,
they got Incarnate Word.
Of course they do.
Oh, yeah. That's a big draw down there.
You know, many people are now fumbling through what's Incarnate mean. But
I don't want to disparage. I am so pumped about what UTSA did. But I'll tell you right now. UTSA called back in the early 2000s to say, hey, how did you get this thing to the point where you were going to get the school to vote? And Pete Carlin gave them the recipe.
Did he?
And they executed.
That's our that was our athletic trainer and former AD.
100% of the credit for having that thing even be, because again, they had the attitude of how can we get this done, not how can we stop it.
Sure, right. Well, and I'll tell you one other thing too is that here again, there's more stats that I've heard on. I know a young man that's being somewhat recruited at the time, right? Well, he was told by a Division I program that, you know, the head coach is, hey, I used to give out 25 scholarships a year. Now I give out about 5 to high school seniors because he can go to the portal,
transfer portal.
And pull 20 off of there who've been through the proving ground,
But the good with starting a program is you can do the same thing if you're eligible.
That's exactly right. What I'm saying is,
yeah.
but that's not only for UTA to get started up,
right.
But it's also, hey, if all of a sudden we got a super stud on UTA, Sarkisian out of Austin may be coming down.
Comes a calling.
Yeah, exactly.
What do we have to do there? We have to have the infrastructure.
That's right.
So, you got to have an amazing indoor training facility. You got to have weight rooms that are world class.
Right.
But to the other point you made, John says we're not going to rush to build some stadium on campus if this moves forward. We are going to talk to Jerry and Choctaw and Globe Life.
Yep. Right.
Why should we even have to go? I mean, and people aren't going to go, oh, no, we have to go all the way to Texas Stadium or the Cotton Bowl, which is what we did back before we had our stadium.
Sure.
Yeah. Or, God forbid, nothing personal, Lamar High School. But playing our games at Lamar was almost – I was a freshman.
Cravens
I only had to deal
field.
With that 1 year. And most of that was from the sideline.
Well, my I tell you what, though. I mean, my experience was quite different. I walk right into that stadium, new facilities. We had all this. The weight room wasn't quite finished in there yet, and we moved in there eventually. But I think ultimately – you know, you've got the largest program in the country without a football program. And I think
– largest school, yeah.
School, excuse me. And, you know, having – you know, being an alumni myself, our normal producer, our full-time producer is not here. Yo-Yo Dave is a UTA alum. And it's funny how UTA alums will come out of the woodwork a little bit. But, Jerry, just kind of bring it to a capsule for the group here. I mean, if you're interested, if a fan's interested, or if they want to get behind this, you know, one, what needs to happen, and two, what do they got to do?
Yeah, so I need to first sort of pause and say, I don't want anybody sending any money to anybody necessarily specifically for football. I'm looking for folks to join the Maverick Club and to give to the campus for those student athletes that may not get the scholarships because they have to walk on or whatever the reason is. And I think, you know, UTA alumni, even if they're bitter about football, if they saw that 125 guys and saw how joyful, and gosh, you know, I wish I could share all the emails I received.
Yeah.
Mike, I appreciate all the commentary about my labor of love, but I don't do this because I want to be, you know, everybody saying thank you, Jerry. I want to do this because I love the university.
I
want to bring it back, and I want to start anew, whatever we want to call it. The other part about this from a capstone standpoint is I agreed with John. As soon as we get back from the NCAA basketball, I'm being funny there, but
optimism,
let's hope we get to the NCAA tournament. But as soon as basketball season is over, we're going to put this, let's call it blue chip group together.
Right.
We're going to put our heads down and we're going to build a feasibility to launch, not one to hope we can convince. It's not going to be a marketing program. It's going to be take these steps and we can do it, so that Jennifer can chew it up and spit it out, feed it, make it, change it, adjust it.
Put it in the university.
When she does go to a meeting in August annually for the Texas Board of Regents, and they're talking to her after her second full year here, and she's got her 2030 program, I am as strategically aligned with this as I could be, as our absolute best chance.
Right. Agreed.
I'm gonna leave it on the field.
Yeah. Well, folks, that's Jerry Mecca, and he's former UTA athlete, football player, namely, and you know, really the linchpin behind all of us alum, football
Whatever.
Alum, namely, that to putting us together. But hey, Jerry, thank you for taking the time here on the Press Box, and you know, we'll have you on again, obviously, because you know, I've not only got inside scoop, but hey, I also got a huge vested interest.
Well,
but,
and he's a dedicated repeat offender, too.
No question. But Jerry, we thank you so much, and we look forward to talking to you soon. Thanks, Jerry. And ladies and gentlemen, there he goes, the great Jerry Mecca. And we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about what's happening in Ellis County sports.
Every day we rise. We rise to greet the moments that will define us. We rise and open our hearts to new possibilities that inspire us. And we rise so that together we shine. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Texas understands what it means to be a partner from the beginning, rising together so that every day we can shine a light on the helpers, the healers, the ones building a lasting future of wellness for all of us. Together, we're on this journey elevating the way we manage and improve our health, raising expectations, making healthcare simpler, kinder, and more accessible than ever, wherever. Together, we'll lift the hopes of small business, new families, and big retirement plans. Together, we'll raise preventive care awareness, empowering Blue Cross members and their communities with the newest technologies, fulfilling our oldest promise, to be forever by your side, rising together toward a healthier tomorrow, through it all.
Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Texas, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a mutual legal reserve company.
Equipment cluttering up your backyard? Jet skis taking up space in your driveway? Whether you need an extra closet or garage, Access Self-Storage has the space for you. Meet the friendly, helpful managers who live on site with state-of-the-art surveillance and electronic entry systems. In Red Oak at 561 East Ovilla Road and in Midlothian at 1630 North Highway 67. Committed to safety, security, and service. Access Self-Storage.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area.
Sponsored by the Texas Army National Guard. Aired by the Texas Association of Broadcasters and this station.
KBEC. And now back to the Press Box on KBEC.
And we are back. Chad Hicks here alongside Tiny Mike Fay under the extremely exquisite production of interim producer Ken Roberts. Ken,
Yo.
Thank you for stepping in
and all that.
So glad to be here.
Running
yeah.
the pits for
yeah,
us
one other
there.
Thing I thought about, too, when y'all were talking about facilities, I mean, not that UTA would play there, but, you know, Arlington ISD passed a bond. They're building an awesome high school facility.
Yeah. Are they really?
Oh,
where
yeah.
are they building it?
I don't
Across
know where it is.
Across the street from UTA?
But
nice.
It is. It's going to be, I mean, it's going to be a super facility.
Well, you knew they played. I mean, you called them. That's where they played.
Yeah. Yeah.
At our, I
at
say,
Lamar.
Our stadium.
Yeah.
Well, they, you know, they, I don't know what.
Oh.
I don't know what is it Cravens Field? I can't remember the name of the one where Lamar played, but
yeah, that thing's tired.
It's tired.
Oh, yeah, that's where we were. We played Lamar this
yeah.
past season.
There you have it.
Yeah, we did.
And pretty
Cravens.
Rough. Yeah. Pretty rough.
Yeah, pretty rough.
But this new facility, and of course, I guess it'll be a couple of years before it opens, but it
yeah.
looks nice.
You bet. Anybody that's ever been on a plane, or at least much like I have, you know, in my corporate world days and all that, flying in, it always cracked me up because when you're coming in, when you're making your approach into DFW from the north, you fly basically right over South Lake and Grapevine. And, dude, their stadiums aren't three blocks apart. You would have thought they had a co-shared on something right
there.
Hey,
let's really come up with something nice.
Right, exactly.
Whenever the Dragons and Mustangs shall meet.
Yeah, so, that's right.
Not happening, baby. Not happening.
They want their own piece of ground. Boy.
So it's awful good that we have Ken with us for a lot of reasons. But to begin with, that he was on the call when Waxahachie met their fate there in the playoffs. We haven't really been back since. And so I wanted to get Ken
a couple minutes
weigh in on that, kind of get your thoughts. And
I was there, by the way.
There you have it. So
do you remember the name I made mention of for the Lake Ridge Eagles that had kind of been the Waxahachie killer?
The nemesis.
The little Cravens kid.
Yes.
He did it to us again.
He did it to us again.
He's had 22 points in that game, but the inexplicable part of that, and I'm sure it's his, probably still keeping Corey Johnson awake.
You bet.
58-58 going into the fourth period. It's been an unbelievable back-and-forth battle.
Right. We played them hard. Yep. And the refs were letting them
points. What happened?
No offense.
Just shut
this
down.
This team that had been averaging 77 points a game scored 5 points.
In the fourth quarter.
I don't even know how you do that. And only one shot from the floor.
Yeah.
Three points were from the free throw line. Scored one basket from the floor.
We listened to your call. And you know, one thing that I've always admired about your broadcasting, Ken, is that you're not a homer.
No.
You have equal excitement on both sides of the ball, much to my chagrin.
Yeah, because you don't know who.
Because I don't want you excited about what they're doing. I don't want you excited at all.
But you got to understand.
But boy, you could hear his voice.
When the opponent scores,
you don't want me to do like John Smoltz did every time the Rangers did well.
No question.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're doing. Yeah. That's insane how they're doing that.
The Ranger playoff, too. I don't want to get off side.
Well, no.
That was horrible.
You want to hear some Homer broadcasters, Ken? Take yourself on over to the dial and listen to some A&M broadcasters.
Oh, yeah.
A&M dial.
Yeah.
Monica tunes into them every Saturday and watches the game.
You know who we had call in on the flea market the Friday morning? The fake Dave South.
Oh.
First time he's made a call in. He was calling me to tell me that he's getting ready to retire. I need to come to Aggieland.
No, you can't go.
Joe the impersonator. Listen, and I know you just see a lot of things over 40-some-odd years of doing high school sports.
Yeah.
But I've never seen such a potent team just completely lose it.
Well, and I'll say this. I didn't want to say this on the air. I didn't want to put undue pressure on the young man and all of that. But in my opinion, we really needed Trey Nunn to show out, right? We needed him. We needed – because you know they were going to go to Jefferson. You know they're going to go to Grace, right?
Yep.
And so all of a sudden they have to keep them covered. So if there's anybody on that court that's going to be freed up, it's going to be Trey Nunn or could have been Pankey as well, right?
Well, Trey, of course, Trey had had a great season just to be a sophomore and been playing well in the playoffs.
If
you'll remember, I think the Indians knew that because to start the fourth period, the first two passes went to him and he launches two threes that are just off the mark. But just off the mark.
Yep.
And when he misses that second one, it's like we imploded.
The balloon, left the balloon. That's exactly right.
And credit to the Eagles who just took it right to us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something they did not do in the first two games.
Right.
They're not a great perimeter shooting team.
Nope.
But we kept them out of the paint, but they ate us up on the
inside.
Well,
it's like you said, and I thought you jumped on the air with us right before the broadcast. Yeah, you did, before the broadcast.
Yep.
Talking about, you know, it beat me twice. You're not beating me three times.
It's hard to do.
It's hard.
Now, listen, just to prove it's no fluke, I mean, those Eagles get all the way to the semifinals.
They rolled through the regional tournament,
and,
no problem, pretty much.
Unfortunately, like we knew they would, they, like everybody else did, ran into Plano East.
Yeah.
But even then, great start against Plano East and was up by 15. And then that outside perimeter game completely disappeared, and Plano East shut that inside out. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they ended up being state champs once on Sunday.
40-0.
And just to throw a little extra in, a member of our district next year, the Lancaster Tigers are the 5A state
champs. We saw that earlier.
So, look forward to that district next year.
It never gets easy.
It does not.
Ladies and gentlemen, here on the press box on KBEC, we're about to take a hard left, so hold on.
Okay.
And as we go, Ken, talk to us about baseball. Best I could tell, after my own amalgamation and sourcing thereof. We're around 6-2 so far in baseball.
So that I saw that. That's actually we're actually, I believe, since coming out of the Dripping Springs tournament, or at least the 2.5 games we got to play, they're like 12-2 now. And they're not only 12-2; they're strong 12-2.
Yeah,
the two teams they've lost to were state ranked Rockwall, and they beat state ranked team Rockwall Heath.
And then it was some team like.
Weatherford beat them.
Weatherford.
And then I can't remember another tournament game. Here's some information I got, though, that this just show you how well they're playing. And, of course, defense and pitching. These guys can hit the ball, but last week in 22 innings, Indian pitchers walked 4. Leadoff hitters got on base only 4 times in those 3 games, or 2 2/3. They threw 67% first pitch strikes and had 68% total strike counts in those games last week.
Wow!
This little team may end up being pretty good.
So who do you see right now as are the go to folks? So like who are the standouts that we should keep in our eyes on?
Well, they have such a great mixture of youth and veteran. I mean, we got a couple of seniors, of course, and Judd Nash is kind of the guy that put it, but we've got a couple of freshmen that are contributing. Yeah. Got some sophomore starters, and of course, we got the Piro brothers, the senior and the sophomore, playing short and first. So
I heard
defensively,
they're into boating, small boating. Kind of in a marsh. I digress.
No, here's what's in. This is a little aside. So we have struggled. We have struggled on how to say their name.
Piro. It's a Piro boat.
Piro. It's spelled like Piro. Piro, we've been told.
It's not French Cajun.
Like, so here's what
happened. Told by.
So here's what. Different ones. But when we did our first broadcast, it was the Friday night game of the Doolin tournament. Right. Lo and behold, running the in-game music at the press box is their dad.
Oh, couldn't be any better.
And so I say, all right.
Joni Blanc.
Whatever he calls it, Joni Blanc.
What it is.
Just tell us how to say it. You know what he tells us?
Smith.
He says the correct way to say it is Piro, but the boys prefer Piro. So call him Piro. I said, well, wait a minute.
I've never heard that.
No, I have never.
That's funny.
And I said, now wait, Dad. You didn't just crack the whip. He said, no, whatever they want to be called, that's fine.
Yeah.
So we're calling them Piro.
So I just wonder how long has he allowed this thing? Because it's like letting your kids dress themselves.
Yeah, I don't
know. Boys. Not a good idea.
Right.
Coach Turner just looked at me and kind of shrugged. I said, hey, Coach.
Piro, we got it. Let's go from there.
It reminds me of the time we had a public address, an interim public address guy working at Richards Park one time, and he was not good. He lasted one season, and he would ask the kids who brought up the lineup card for the other team, help me if there's any names I don't know how to pronounce. And so the kids would go over it. So he goes through their batting order once, and this man walks up to the press box between innings and says, hey, that kid playing shortstop, his name is so-and-so. And our guy says, well, the trainer told me it's so-and-so. He said, well, I'm the dad, and I'm telling you his name is so-and-so. And he walks out, and the guy says, I'm still going to keep calling him what the trainer told me. I said, all right, man.
Wow.
Oh, I thought
good
we were going right
that.
Into unfortunate last name talk.
No.
We're going right into unfortunate last name talk.
That would be coming full circle, Richard Noble. So anyway, the Indians are doing great. Here's a little programming note for this week. Because of the portent of inclement weather on Thursday and Friday, the district opener is tomorrow night at Cedar Hill, and then we're going to turn right around and play Wednesday night at Paul Richards Park against Cedar Hill to get those two games in before the weather comes in.
Well, thank you for that update. I may just slide on over to Cedar Hill and watch High School.
You know what that means for us, too. A little early trip over for some Babe smoked chicken.
I ride with Robert Harrell, so therefore we'd stop by Sonic on the way home for the little chocolate shake.
Is that what the vice president likes?
The vice president likes,
which is genius.
Yeah, he likes shooting Kildee and drinking chocolate shake.
Just don't let him shoot you.
Right.
Don't let him shoot
if you don't stop at Sonic, he'll shoot you in the face at close range.
So y'all don't stop at the Johnny Brown Memorial Whataburger. You go on to the Sonic.
We go to Sonic.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Nice.
Hey, let me throw out a little update right here. Speaking of Waxahachie baseball.
By the way, both those games will be broadcast right here on KBEC.
Right on.
KBEC.
Right, there you go.
by Ken Roberts himself and the old left-hander.
The old left-hander.
No, I'll give a little Jared Thomas, a little JT, if y'all remember him. I think you probably do. So last week.
I watched some Longhorn action this last week.
Yeah, on
Tuesday night. Did he play some baseball?
On Tuesday night, the mighty Texas Aggies rolled into Austin to play the Longhorns.
Right on.
And thanks to Mr. Thomas, I was able to go attend the game in some really choice seats. Nice. I appreciate him. And my son and a couple of, Ryan DeLeon, the former Waxahachie center, Chase Pope, former Waxahachie player, met me there, and we all sat there and watched the game. And but let me tell you something, folks. If you're about baseball and you're about Waxahachie and you want to follow former players, you need to tune into this kid right here. As of last Tuesday, his batting average was .475 and his BPS was 1.25.
Yeah, he's off to an unbelievable start.
The record.
He got the
to let
off.
People know, a BPS of 0.9 is considered great, and he's at a 1.25.
What's I watched BPS? Him play Texas Houston Christian.
Right.
He got the night off that night. So,
yeah.
But hey. I want to give credit where credit is due, too. And the fake Dave South brought this up. Those Aggies, what a start off.
They are, but hey, don't jinx them. Because for pretty much my whole Aggie life, we go through the season, ranked top five, whatever, definitely under 10, and we get to the Super Regional and
somebody loses Rebel League.
Wheels fly off. And
somebody steps on the grass.
Yeah, exactly.
Breaks all the rules.
They wear their hat in the MSC, and we get bumped.
Doggone it.
That's a glass half-empty view of Aggie baseball.
Right.
There, Chad.
It is. But it's they. Well, what they do have this year that they haven't had in a while is some pitching.
Yeah, yeah.
And
they're off to a great start.
They're off to a great. And they can swing the bat as well.
You think complaining is really going to make it? Make
I'm not complaining. I'm just saying don't jinx us.
Oh,
don't talk about us too early.
My bad.
All right. So
now
let's shift to softball real quick before we run out of time.
Yeah.
Got a couple of minutes.
Right.
How about Naylee Nichols stepping out there and pitches a no-hitter
Good
the other
gosh.
Night?
Yeah. I know. We're going to catch a couple of girls softball games along the way, too, because
nice.
We refused to go to Skyline, and there's a game where another game I think we had that they're going to be playing when Waxahachie.
Is there an issue with going to Skyline or just,
yeah.
just bad?
Okay. Several.
Okay.
Facilities, right. the drive,
yeah.
stuff. The time they play.
Competition.
And the lack of competition.
Okay.
All combined to make it an easy game to miss.
Okay.
And being the largest school in our
We will do the 11. Home game against Skyline, but we're not going to drive.
Okay. 11,
we did that one enough. Time for a playoff game, and I said, Coach, if good Lord willing, we're never coming back up here.
Yeah, okay.
Fair enough. The boss made the call.
Yeah. but no, against Cedar Hill, pitches a no-hitter.
Yeah.
And And that was it a perfect game or just a no-hitter?
I think it's just a no-hitter.
Yeah, okay.
If I read that
and,
right.
But anyway, no runs,
good
no hits. So
I think
there
she
we
may
go.
Have walked, or there may have been an error behind
okay.
it. But anyhow.
Nevertheless, but great way to start off district play against Cedar Hill.
Yes.
And then one other note about Waxahachie sports, and of course I'm going to squeeze A&M into this.
But
anybody that's wondering about Damani Richardson, I did see his tryout at the Combine. Last week, and
right.
so I don't know if it's good or bad. I know it looked good, but there's a lot of others that look good, too.
Yeah.
We'll find out here next month when
How
the
did
draft
Darian Henderson
around.
Do we know?
I don't know. Yeah, Ladarius
Henderson.
Yes, I do not know on that.
I think he'll be playing on Sunday. I don't know about – I hope Damani
yeah.
will be. But
yeah.
Either way,
well, he's got a connection that'll help him maybe open some doors
a
if
little.
Nothing else.
But it's all underwear Olympics until the real game happens.
That's right.
You strap them
that
on.
Is,
so.
That's exactly right.
Well, hey, look, we're up against shot clock.
We
so.
Are. So, hey, Mr. Roberts, thank you very much
yes,
for
indeed.
Stepping
and,
in on us.
Either
and,
me or Yo-Yo will be back with you next week.
Good thoughts for Yo-Yo.
Thank you. Good luck on all your broadcast endeavors this week.
Try not to choke on a chicken bone before I go to the game.
There you are. Well, wash it down with a chocolate shake. Mikey, as always, thanks for driving fast home on a Monday to get here in time. And to all our listeners, thank you all for tuning in. We'll be right back here next Monday, 6 p.m.
We usually say goodnight, Yo-Yo.
So. I'll say goodnight to Yo-Yo tonight.
Right,
how's
go.
That?
We
wish you
goodnight to Yo-Yo.
Yeah.
Night,
goodnight, Yo-Yo.
Here
good
we go.
Yo-Yo.
See you next week.
You've been listening to The Press Box on KBEC, 1390 AM, 99.1 FM, and online at KBEC.com. Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpets in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpets. Tune in every Monday night at 6 p.m. for The Press Box.